Welcome to the Match Fit Conditioning Podcast. Transforming over 100,000 footballers worldwide. Everything we do is aimed at enabling you to gain an edge completely by yourself without needing help from a training partner or teammate. Open yourself to doing things smarter and with more intention, focus and attention to detail than your teammates, opponents, and even your coaches. Are you ready to get match fit?
So Nishu Bardos is asking how to strengthen his ankles, and I'm assuming this is probably related to recurring ankle sprains. And we get a lot of these questions because ankle sprains are a very big injury in football, and it's something that doesn't go away if you don't work on it constantly, and it's not something you keep on top of. So how do you strengthen your ankles? Well, one simple way is strengthening your calf muscles. Calves are really important when it comes to the ankle. There's not many large muscles around the ankle that produce motion, but the calves are one of them. So really good quality calf raises where you're getting to full range off a step and then getting as high as you can. So that's a good way to kind of work on your ankles. But in terms of preventing ankle sprains, like I said, it's something we get a lot. Single leg stability is really, really important. And it has a number of different components within that. It's not just standing on one leg. So kind of balance exercises are important, and that's one of the places where unstable surfaces could be useful. So using a half foam roller or a Bosu ball. I think I've got a half foam roller hanging around. So this is a half foam roller. So obviously you can see it's a half foam, a foam roller that's actually designed to be cut in half. You can make one of these yourself, and basically you put it on the floor, and it's something that's going to balance, you can balance on, and is going to move a little bit. So a single leg stability exercise where you're standing on there for a certain amount of time is a really useful thing you can do. As you progress, you can stand on it with one leg, and you can volley the ball back to a partner or a teammate or whoever's with you. That's really useful. Single leg stability exercises that involve more load, like single leg deadlifts and single leg squats to a bench with good control, are really good for kind of adding stability around your ankle. So calf raises are really useful, number one, and number two, single leg stability exercises, either using tools like this, which you actually see fairly often with footballers, and exercises with load are really useful as well. So hopefully if you do those things, then you can avoid recurring ankle sprains. So we'll see what other questions are coming in and see how we can help. We'll try and get to as many of your questions as we can, especially ones that are coming in repeatedly. Just give me 1 second, we'll see what's going on. So from Maguzo, it's coming in, what type of training should I use to build a good amount of leg muscles? So if you're looking at lower body hypertrophy, one of the things that you're going to need to be able to do is use a sufficient amount of load. So exercises like a single leg deadlift, for example, is something I mentioned previously. That's probably not going to be a great exercise to add a huge amount of muscle mass, because you're probably not going to be able to do 100 kilo single leg deadlifts for 10 or 12 reps. So exercises like back squats are really useful. Split squats are going to be really useful as well. And when it comes to kind of in the preseason or off season, using machines like leg presses are actually really useful. It's an easy way to lift a lot of weight for 10 to 12 to 15 reps in those rep ranges that we need to be in to produce hypertrophy. So leg press is useful, back squats useful if you've got good flexibility. Barbell split squats are really useful as well. Leg extensions and hamstring curls are something that's quite useful too. So sometimes coaches and sometimes people will talk about them being kind of non-functional. I think if hamstring curls and leg extensions make up your whole program throughout the whole season, then you're probably not ticking the boxes you need to be ticking. But as a kind of assistance exercises where you're kind of supplementing the other kind of work you're doing, and using it as a way to increase your leg muscles in terms of size, so then you can go and get stronger and later on more powerful, then they're all good options and things you can use. So I hope that answers your question. Lots of people joining the live, so we'll see what else is coming in. Another question similar to the one I just got. So last question was about lower body exercises. David, I believe David Palida is coming in. I hope I said that right. Sorry if I didn't. Is asking, what are great exercises to do for upper body in the gym? It really depends what the goal is, whether it's hypertrophy, whether it's strength, whether it's power. Most of the time, it's probably going to be hypertrophy and strength for the upper body, unless maybe you're a long throw specialist. So for the average player who probably just wants to get a little bit bigger and a little bit stronger in the upper body so they can hold off opponents and they don't get pushed off the ball, then exercises, again, where you can use a large amount of load, like bench press or dumbbell press, is great for pushing strength and for chest and triceps, really. You want to balance that out, and you want to be at similar angles as you would be while you're doing things like bench presses. So there's something called a bench pull or a seal row, which you'll be lying down flat on a bench, and you'll be basically doing a bent over row where you pull the bar towards you, but you're going to be in a good controlled position. You can also do that with dumbbells with an incline bench, and that'd be a chest supported row. So they're good pushing and pulling exercises. Chin-ups and pull-ups are really good to incorporate in your program. Where you can challenge yourself using your body weight is always useful, because you know you're going to get a lot of different muscles involved in that, and it's going to be a challenge for you too. And press-ups and pull-ups are both good exercises for those reasons. So pretty much any tools in the gym you can use to increase upper body strength and produce hypertrophy. Generally, we look same as anything with compound lifts, things that are multi-joint exercises that you're going to get good bang for your buck. So you're not just going to go in the gym and do bicep curls, but you could do something like a bench press where you're going to use a large amount of muscles, and it's actually going to transfer over to the game as well, which is the most important thing. Okay, here's a good question, and a good question, a question that I like as well. So Adnan Hadzic, I hope I said that one right as well, I think I have, is asking about in-season strength training in the gym. How? So it's a good question. Why is strength important during the season? It's really important because you need to make sure that you at least maintain your strength and power over the season, because you need to keep performing at the same level. You can't start the season really well, stop strength and power training, and then get to the point where you're now not as strong on the pitch and not as powerful because you can't produce as much total force. So it's really important that you do in-season strength training. How and when is the golden question, pretty much. So it depends when your games are. If you play every Saturday, then you're probably going to be recovered 72 hours after your game, fully recovered. So Tuesday and Wednesday are great times to do strength training and heavy strength training. You're going to want to keep the volumes low because you don't want to produce soreness during the season, because you want to make sure that you can train at a good level. So if you were to go into the gym and you were to do a barbell split squat for 3 reps, you're probably not going to get much soreness from that, even if it's really heavy, even if it's 90% of your 1 rep max. So you want to keep the volume low, which means the reps low. You want the intensity, so the weight, you want to be high. And you don't have to go in the gym in season and do a 3-hour session. You can probably get everything you want to get done in less than an hour, because you need to make sure that you're putting a lot of your time into technical work and that you're going to be fresh for training. So if you can keep things concise, you can keep the volume low and the intensity high, that's a way you're going to be able to maintain your strength throughout the season. And maintaining strength and power is pretty much maintaining your physical performance throughout the season. I know there's some other variables in terms of conditioning. So you've got aerobic and anaerobic systems that you're going to need to take care of. But in terms of strength and power, they're two really big boxes you want to make sure you're checking in season. And I think it's actually something that's being implemented in clubs in many different countries. So some teams might have had a bit of a stigma against strength training, especially in the season, and especially if the coaches are a little bit old school. But it's definitely something that is kind of, there's a real emphasis on it, because if you've got a 38 or a 40 week season, you're going through a whole amount of the year, it's not going to be enough just to do strength training for 6 to 8 weeks before the season and expect to be strong throughout the whole year. So you want to make sure that you are training strength and power in season. That's really important. Rani is asking, should he be focusing on compound movements if he wants to increase his strength in the game? Definitely yes. That's an easy one for me. Okay, let's see what's coming in. There's quite a few questions. So Muguzo is asking again about what are examples of good exercises for strength and power. I suppose I probably talk about strength and power a lot, but then we don't speak about the what actual exercises that might kind of involve. So thinking about the lower body, which is going to be more important for a footballer, it's a running based sport. Obviously, you play with your feet and kick the ball using your legs and your feet. So lower body strength exercises are pretty much any compound movements that you can load up heavy and do in a safe way. So if you're flexible and you move well, then a back squat's going to be really useful. You can also use front squats. I'm a huge fan of barbell split squats. I always talk about them. They're a really useful exercise, and they probably have less of a kind of prerequisite in terms of flexibility and mobility. There's probably a bit less teaching time, and it has a big stability component as well, which depending what school of thought you're in is a good thing or a negative thing when it comes to strength training. So there are three good lower body strength exercises. Trap bar deadlifts are also incredibly useful as well. Again, they have quite a small teaching component to it. So it's something you can probably do well fairly quickly. And it's something that is a lower body strength exercise that you can use a reasonable amount of weight. So there, I guess, front squat, back squat, barbell split squat, and trap bar deadlifts are all really good lower body strength exercises. I suppose a leg press as well, depending on what type of leg press it is, can be useful too. So in terms of power and what the difference is when I'm talking about strength exercises and when I'm talking about power exercises are going to be things that you are able to accelerate whatever implement, whether it's your body or whether it's a barbell or a dumbbell or something like that. Anything you're going to be able to accelerate quickly, and probably is going to be a movement that doesn't involve deceleration. So let me just cover that. What's an exercise that involves deceleration? So if you're doing a bench press, you can't continually accelerate through the entire movement unless you throw the bar, because at some point you need to slow down, otherwise the bar is going to come out of your hands. So somewhere roughly halfway through the bench press, you're going to actually start slowing down as opposed to constantly speeding up. And that doesn't really happen in sporting movements like sprinting and changing direction. Usually we accelerate until we're moving as fast as we can, and then we can maintain our top speed for a set period of time. But generally, if you're sprinting to get away from a player, you're never going to be slowing down in that movement or decelerating unless you're going to change direction, which is a different story. So a power exercise is something you can continually accelerate accelerate whatever it is, your body, the bar. So that could involve something like box jumps. It could involve something like a barbell jump or a dumbbell jump. It could be an Olympic lifting component, which sometimes can be useful with footballers, especially the more simple kind of elements of Olympic lifting. So something like a push press from behind, or a kind of push jerk from the back is actually really useful and fairly easy to learn as well. So power exercises are things that you can get lower body triple extension, which is basically a jump, and you can continually accelerate a bar. So if you're looking at those types of exercises, you're gonna have strength and power pretty much covered. And then it's basically using what's appropriate for you and kind of also what you like a little bit as well. Because if you really like a push press, you're probably going to commit to it quite a lot. Whereas if you get given an exercise that might be a bit complicated, like a power snatch, if you haven't had a huge amount of if you haven't had appropriate instruction and you haven't kind of bought into it, you don't love doing it, you might not do it as well. So I think there's some pretty good examples of strength and power exercises. So let's see what else is coming in. Another simple one, box jumps and single leg plyometrics for power, coming in from TW Fitness. Yes, on that one, they're probably both good ideas with the appropriate people. Let's see what else is coming in. Here's a question that comes in quite often as well, and there's not always a solid answer for it. So Basher is asking, how much should I rest to charge my batteries for next season? So how much you should rest after your season ends is going to depend on a lot of things. It's going to depend on your physical state. So are you carrying any niggles or any real injuries? How long has your season been and how many times have you been playing a week? And mentally, there's an aspect there as well. So all those things are going to be different for every single player. For someone who's been playing three times a week as a professional and has been getting beaten up all season because the type of player they are, or they've become unlucky or something like that, then they're probably going to need a while. How long that is probably depends on the individual. If you've been playing every Saturday and it's amateur football and you're just thinking about Sunday league and everyone goes to the pub after, then you're probably not going to need a huge amount of rest. Obviously, most of the players that I'm probably talking to on this are not in that kind of Sunday league, go to the pub after category. But you see my point that there's going to be a spectrum. So the longer you have off to recover means probably the more detrained you become. So you can lose fitness quality. So if you build up strength and power for a long time, then you'll probably get, if you build it up over a long period of time, you're going to be able to maintain it for a longer period of time without doing any work. So if you're a really high level athlete, then you might be able to maintain a kind of touch and distance level to what you were before for a week. But we know that after a week or 2 weeks, your strength starts to go down, which means your power will probably start to go down as well, which will translate to you being slower. So I think it's always, a player needs to take as much time as they need to fully recover to make sure they don't have any niggles or any injuries. But that doesn't always mean that they need to be sitting down doing nothing. So if a player's got an ankle injury at the end of the season, a minor ankle injury, they might be able to do some battle ropes to maintain their fitness. There's probably not a huge amount of time in the year. It's only 52 weeks in a year. Obviously, the season's much less than that. But there's only so much time you want to be doing absolutely nothing. There's always a small element of training that you can be doing without causing fatigue. So you need to take as much time as you need off personally to recover so you can continue to train hard again and obviously go into the next season, but it shouldn't be too long. So you're going to become detrained and then your preseason is obviously not going to go as well because you need to kind of gain back qualities that you had already rather than going to the next level. Obviously, every season, you want to be trying to get better than you were the season before. And if you spend 6 weeks off, then you're just going to be trying to get back to the same level you were at rather than improving. So yeah, it's definitely an individual one. Just consider the things that I've discussed and obviously try and apply it to you. So I've spoken about squats today and we've got a couple of questions about squats. How do squats affect the game performance? So back squats and back squat 1RM have been found to be correlated with speed in semi-professional and professional footballers. I think it makes sense that if your lower body can produce a large amount of force, you can then produce a large amount of power. So basically you can produce that force quickly if you train power and if you're on the pitch a lot. So if someone's got really weak legs, then they're probably not going to be able to sprint extremely fast. There are instances of athletes who are incredibly good sprinters and they've never touched a weight in their life. But if you put them in the right situation, if you put them on a leg press or something like that, they're probably going to have very strong legs or at least have other redeeming qualities like ankle stiffness and good plyometric ability and good reactivity. So there are going to be instances where you find people or athletes that say they've never lifted weights before, but having a good squat and having a squat that's 1.5 to maybe two times your body weight, depending on how you move and your kind of proportions, that's probably going to give you a good amount of lower body strength amongst other things, which is then going to allow you to train to have a large amount of power and then go out and be fast on the pitch. So I think good lower body strength is important, and something like a back squat is probably a good indication of lower body strength depending on how the athlete moves. So let's have a look at what else is coming in. Looks like we're very busy on our Instagram today, so I'll try and answer some questions that are coming up multiple times or that come up often. Okay, so based on what I was talking about a moment ago, so what should we prioritize in season, power or strength? I think in season you can probably train concurrently pretty simply. So a concurrent training program means where you're training for multiple fitness qualities at one time. So if you're a powerlifter, you might be training for strength all the time because that's the main goal to you. But in something like football, there's a huge amount of different things that you're going to need to be training for because there are many different aspects that affect your performance. So you can probably train for strength and power in season, no problem, because you're not going to be training at the level where you have to do a huge amount of volume for either of those qualities. So you can probably train both of those things together. And probably the same thing in your preseason as well. Depending how long your preseason is, say if you have an 8-week preseason, but you haven't been completely resting in your off season, you have been doing some training, then you might be able to have 4 weeks of more strength focused training and then 4 weeks of more power focused training. So they're just some examples, but it depends where you are in the season. If you're preseason, you might have more time and more flexibility to train those individual things and have more focus on one than the other. Whereas in season, you can probably combine the both into one session quite quickly. And it's not something that's going to take you 4 hours to do in the gym because the volume is low. So let's see what else is going on. So Pat Lucic is asking about his schedule. It's quite a specific one, but we can use it and trying to look at it with kind of a broader brush. So he's telling me that he plays on every Saturday and Sundays in competitive matches, goes to the gym 3 times a week, and also trains 5 days a week. Every 2 weeks there's 1 day off. So he's asking if that's good for him as a 17-year-old. So I obviously don't know what those sessions involve, how intense they are, and how they're structured. So I can't just say whether it's good or bad, but I would say that most footballers should be, or most athletes in general, most people should be trying to have at least 1 day a week where they have rest. So it might not have to be complete rest. If you do some mobility work or some yoga type sessions or some light stretching and things like that, maybe some injury prevention work, it might be a good idea. If you're in a type of system where you're training 5 days a week, but you're using a system where there's a very high day and a very low day, and that could be either in the gym or that could be either in your actual football practices, your football training. If that's the way it's structured, then you might be able to have kind of more longevity in that type of system and get more out of it. What I would say is that if you're doing 3 really intense gym sessions a week, 5 days of really intense training in the week, and 2 games, one on Saturday, one on Sunday, you're probably doing a huge amount of work and a huge kind of volume of work. So you're going to be really careful. You need to be really careful in that because it is a huge amount of work. So I'm not going to say whether it's good or bad, but what I'm going to say is you need to make sure that your sleep is fantastic, way more than 8 hours sleep a night, probably, if you can. Your nutrition is going to have to be great, and you're going to have to make sure that you're taking care of yourself in terms of any foam rolling, any stretching. If you do develop any areas where you have a small amount of pain or something like that, you're probably going to have to get it checked out immediately before it becomes kind of a real big issue for you. So no such thing as too little work or too much work, as long as everything around it is optimized. I can't say if it's good or bad. It does sound like a lot though. So you're going to have to be really careful with that and try and ensure that you're doing everything you can around your training to make sure that you're actually not going to get an injury and you're going to be able to benefit from your training. So just, I thought I'd use this time just to mention for the guys that are listening, guys and girls, the discount code. Yeah, the questions just come in. So Live15 is the discount code. It's going to be running for 2 hours after this live finishes, which is in around 10 minutes or something like that. So you're going to be able to get the full program 15% off, okay? So just see what other questions are getting in. We'll see what else we can answer for you lot who are coming in. So another squat question. Does squats make movement heavy when you move? I think that's coming in from Ali. So I'll answer the question that I think is being asked there. Hopefully I'm interpreting that one correctly. So I think he's asking if doing something like heavy squats is going to make his movement kind of heavy, sluggish, and slow, which is a question that often comes in and sometimes is one of the reasons why people say they don't like doing strength training with footballers or other athletes. But if you do strength training, like heavy back squats at the right time in the season, if you do them well and you're also doing other types of training, then your movement's not going to be slow at all. If you back squat exclusively one rep maxes for an entire year, you're probably not going to be a great footballer. So everything is context specific. If you use back squats during your preseason and you're also doing power training, you're also doing speed and agility training on the pitch, you're playing football on a regular basis, then there's no way that squats going to make you slower. I think that no one's ever lost and said, oh, I was too strong. And I think when you put it in that type of context, it seems a little bit silly. You're never, ever going to be too strong. There might be a point where you're getting diminishing returns. So if you can back squat, like I said before, 1.5 to 2 times your body weight, then by adding another 10 kilos on your back squat, then you might not become a much better footballer through those extra 10 kilos. But I think certainly taking an 18-year-old who has never strength trained before, or a 16-year-old or a 20-year-old, and giving them the ability to back squat their body weight, and then ideally more than that, they're going to be an athlete that's going to be more strong and powerful, obviously, but also more resilient to injury as well. So I wouldn't worry about strength training making you slow. But like I said, if you purely do a one rep max bench press for a year or 2 years, it's probably not a good idea and your movement's going to be poor. If your strength training is part of a periodized program and you're doing things at the appropriate times with the appropriate supplementary work and it's all part of the big picture, then you're going to be fine and going to be way more athletic based off the fact that you're now stronger. Definitely have the potential to be more athletic, definitely. So I think isometric holds are quite a popular topic today. Got three questions in. Okay, got another question about isometric holds. So the example that's asking is you hold a split lunge, for example, for 10 seconds. So something like an isometric hold or a pause in an exercise might be a good way of really solidifying that movement. Doing something like a back squat, because we're on that topic, and pausing in the bottom, it could kind of give you more control in the movement. It could make the eccentric, the down portion of the exercise, more controlled and therefore probably safer. It could also mean that you have to, you take kind of the stretch shortening cycle out of the movement, you take any bounce out of the movement, and it means that you really have to accelerate quickly and have a real intent to move the bar, then some isometrics in your training can be a good idea. When people talk about isometric training sometimes, they might be talking about doing something like an isometric mid-thigh pull, or it's often used in the bench press as well, where the bar will be stuck underneath kind of a safety bar, so you can't move the bar. That could be a real good, quick and safe way of learning to produce a lot of force quickly. It's sometimes used to overcome kind of sticking points in movements. What I would say is that for a footballer, it's probably not going to be the number one thing on your list that you need to be doing. So if I am looking at this one right, and we're talking about pauses in movements, can be a small good idea, but it's not something that's going to take you from being an amateur footballer to a professional footballer. I think generally if you're doing movements that have good controlled eccentrics and have sometimes aggressive and powerful concentric movements, so if you've got a real focus on bar speed and you're thinking about trying to move the bar quickly or the implement quickly, whether it's your body, whether it's a kettlebell or a dumbbell, you're probably going to be improving. So I'm not sure why isometric holds are coming up. Maybe someone's seen something about that, or maybe someone's seen a comment. But yeah, like I said, it's probably not going to be something that takes you to the next level on its own. Needs to be part of a good periodized program. So we'll see if there's any questions I can answer quickly before we end this live. Maybe I'll just go over what the discount code is again, as we're coming toward the end of this live. So the discount code is going to be live 15 for 2 hours after the end of this live video. And you can get that on the full program only. So make sure you, if you are looking at getting the full program, that's something you do. I'll go over a quick question that we've got coming in on the Facebook community page, which has been a little bit quiet tonight. So we'll give you guys some time. So Socrates is asking, what should a gym program for a striker look like? And it's a good question, but it's probably going to be similar to a program which is actually same for a defender, same for a midfielder. A striker still needs to be strong, powerful. They need to be fast. They need to be agile. They need to be able to last 90 minutes. So all the same elements that's going to make a successful defender is going to make a successful striker. Obviously, you've got to play against them. So you need to have similar things going on. And you need to have similar qualities. What I would say is where you might have some differences in your program, it's probably not going to be in the gym. It's probably going to be more on your on-pitch movements. There's no point of a defender practicing kind of arcing runs to try and stay onside and then dart behind onto a through ball to score a goal. But there's probably some merit in having an attacker or a striker doing those things. So on pitch is where your work's probably going to look different. A defender might have to look at doing curved recovery runs. So you probably still have to do a lot of the same elements on pitch and in your work, but it's probably going to get a little bit more specific on pitch. In the gym, like I said, you still need to be strong, powerful. You need to be generally quite athletic to play football, as we all know. And that's why we're all trying to improve. So definitely your gym program is probably not going to be different from a defender or another player. However, on pitch, it's probably going to be quite different. So guys are going to have to apologize because I know there's a lot of questions coming in tonight. Today. It seems like we're quite busy, but we can't get to all of you this time. If you're part of the academy, there's a lot more content there. And if you purchase any of our programs, you're going to get access to the player community as well on the Facebook page. You can ask questions anytime there. So thanks for all your support. Remember, the discount code is LIVE15, and that's going to be active for 2 hours. So thanks a lot for everyone who tuned in tonight, and hopefully we'll get around to you soon.
Thanks for tuning in to the Match Fit Conditioning Podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please share it with one of your teammates. To learn more about the MatchFit method and to start your training with us, visit www.matchfitconditioning.com. We'll show you how to gain an edge on the pitch at an elite level by transforming your fitness level, nutrition, and mindset.